Mr. Parmley, thank you for speaking with me. It's real exciting that you're going to bring Continental Divide to the Lakeland Jamboree on November 2nd. This is a pretty big deal for our region. Your tune, Wake Up, is so heart-tugging and so wise in a number of ways. Did you write that?
I wish I had. No, Merle Haggard wrote that song. Of course, he did it a whole lot different in his arrangement. It was the B-side of a single many, many years ago, and it had trumpets and saxophones and all kinds of, it was a wholly, just a completely different feel for the song than the way I interpreted it.
But you work your voice a lot like Merle Haggard.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Merle's. I'm very, very influenced by Merle.
Well, that song in particular is mighty sensual, if I do say so myself. I want to know, jumping off of that, where is your singing practice today? It seems to me like you stopped for a little bit last year, but you're back on the road?
No, not really. I'm still quit. Really, this weekend, that we're talking about, we're going to do a show on the 1st in Nashville and then do that show on the 2nd, and that'll be the first shows that I've done in about 14 months, probably. The reason being, I was offered a real good position with the Rascal Flatts, and I've been touring with them, driving one of the artist buses, just kind of took a break from music for a while.
Well, I know your fans are glad to have you back. You grew up in L.A., and I read that your dad was the studio musician for the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, he did that for... See, the show ran for 11 years, and my dad did the last 9 years of the show. So anytime the... Not the opening theme, that was done by Flatt and Scruggs. But, like, anytime the show was running and you would see Jethro out in the backyard or whatever... If there was any banjo music going on during the show, that was my dad.
You were sort of, I would imagine, a child prodigy if your dad formed the Bluegrass Cardinals when you were just 15.
Yeah, I started early, and I was a member of that band for 17 years before I left and, started doing something on my own.
What are your favorite memories of the Bluegrass Cardinals?
That band was really ahead of its time in ways. We did a lot of things that now a lot of other groups are doing, but I really feel like that we did them first, And so I think that we kind of cut a path for a lot of people in bluegrass music, but we were really busy in those days. There was all kinds of venues to play. We would work anywhere from 28, 29 days a month, every month. And we did a lot of neat things. When we first moved back east, we were living in the D.C. area, and there was a lot going on up there. We played the Library of Congress steps. We did the White House for a lot of different things all during those years. So we got to do a lot of really neat type of venues,
Musically speaking, what were the innovations of the Bluegrass Cardinals?
A lot of it was harmony. We did a lot of repeating type harmony things on some songs that nobody had ever done before, in our music anyway. We were the first bluegrass band to record a cappella gospel stuff. Doyle Lawson's done it a lot since then, but nobody had ever, and I'm not saying we were the first band to ever sing a cappella, but we were the first ones to ever do it in a studio, as far as bluegrass bands went.
What was the bluegrass scene like in Los Angeles at that time? I kind of recall that the country scene was pretty big in Southern California at that time.
It's never been a big bluegrass scene in Southern California. There's probably three or four of the nicest festivals in the country that go on in California at different times of the year. But as far as year-round, place to go see bluegrass, it's not a very big scene. That's why we moved back east, because the music was back here and all the work was back here.
Now, were you born in Los Angeles or were you born in the east?
No, I was born in Los Angeles. Lived out there, left there about 3 months before my 18th birthday.
Yeah.
Moved back east.
After the Bluegrass Cardinals, Did you work solo for a time and then crank up with the Continental Divide?
No, when I left the Bluegrass Cardinals, I left because I had a record deal signed by Harold Shedd at the Mercury Records to be a country singer. And I was going to try to, you know, go down that road. Through politics and a lot of different reasons, things just didn't happen there. After about 2 years of living in Nashville, I decided to start another bluegrass band, and that's when Continental Divide hit the scene. So.
It's also a very well-respected, widely acclaimed group, and I want you to shape for me what you're proudest about with Continental Divide's output.
Oh, gosh. That's a hard question. Probably, I mean, the thing about bluegrass music, you know, the fans are so loyal, you know, and you can build a career in bluegrass and do it your whole life if that's what you wish to do. And I know that I still have a lot of fans out there that are loyal, and if I was out touring, they'd come to the show. But, you know, Continental Divide, when I first started that band, I started it with Scott Vestal, and we were really doing a lot of more progressive material than I'd ever done before with the Cardinals or anybody like that. If I think at the point in the first 2 years we had the band, if we would have had the right agency and the right management to put us where we should have been, I think that we could have probably done a lot more than we did, you know, because we really were cutting a new edge at that time. But then after Scott left the band, I took the band back to more of the same kind of a feel as the Bluegrass Cardinals, you know, started doing more traditionally oriented music. Not necessarily old songs, but doing them more in that style.
What was the newness about the first phase of Continental Divide? Explain that to me. What was cutting edge there?
Well, we were getting a lot of material from modern songwriters here in Nashville. I had a lot of friends in the publishing industry, and I was getting a lot of real new songs, you know, that were being pitched to new country artists at the same time. You know, mm-hmm. And then we also had musicians like Scott Vestal on the banjo, you know, who is a phenomenal musician, Aubrey Haney on the fiddle, who's a phenomenal musician, and those guys could up there with anybody. I mean, they were just amazing musicians. So a lot of our arrangements and stuff were a lot more progressive than most bluegrass acts are.
Are you familiar with the name Josh Williams?
Oh, yeah. I know Josh.
His voice, I think of his voice doing some of the same kind of work that your voice manages. There's just this real range of sound that you're able to get out of your vocal cords.
Well, thank you.
And I think he wants to have a foot in both worlds, country and bluegrass, you know? I've been listening to him for a while, and he like you, would fit in both worlds.
You know, it's just luck of the dice throw or anything, you know, as to which direction you go musically out here. You know, I mean, there are so many artists in bluegrass that could have been big stars in country if they would have went down that path and had the right connections and at the right place at the right time. Because mm-hmm. There's a lot of talented people in the bluegrass world, you know, but they chose to just do what they do, and they didn't get the right connections and the right pull here and there to get them on the mainstream radio like country is, you know. But that industry changes from day to day. So, I mean, you'll hear somebody, and next year you don't hear them no more. So, you know, I really don't regret what I chose.
Tell me about recording Church House Hymns, Volume 2. Where comes the intensity in the harmonizing on spiritual tunes?
I've always tried to sing, you know, with a lot of emotion and feeling in my singing. Of course, in spiritual music, it's easy. I mean, if you have any heart and soul about you at all, you're going to be able to sing those kind of songs mm-hmm. and feel that. And then, of course, with the members of Continental Divide, Randy Graham, he was also a member of the Bluegrass Cardinals. So we have sang together for, you know, nearly 40 years, off and on. He is so good at following what I do. It just makes the emotion in our harmony that much better, because it's almost like a family band.
Well, you sound so sad when you sing. Are you a sad person?
No, singing songs like that, I just really want to put a lot of heart and feeling into those songs, you know? That's just been my style, is to try to look at the lyrics and try to sing them like the writer intended it to be.
Tell me what you think you're going to put together for the fans at the Lakeland Jamboree.
It's going to be an evening of good, traditional, rooted anyways, bluegrass music, some country ballad type singing. I do a lot of that kind of thing too. There'll be several gospel songs done that night. And I think that anybody that is a fan of bluegrass music will leave, you know, saying that they enjoyed themselves, that they had a good night.
I'm pretty sure you're right about that.
We're going to try our best.
Mr. Parmley, thank you for speaking with me today.
Well, thank you very much for the interview. I appreciate it and appreciate everything you do to help bluegrass music.